Welcome to the CDH Conversations podcast channel. I am Thato Morapula, an associate at CDH. Thank you for joining me as I introduce the CDH podcast series on liability and recourse for COVID-19 vaccine injuries. Each episode in the series covers common queries about the rights, limitations, and obligations that exist around COVID-19 vaccines. Drawing on a variety of legal perspectives, our CDH employment experts speak about regulating COVID-19 in the workplace, the importance of risk assessment, and dealing with objections to mandatory workplace vaccinations. In later episodes, we bring in our pharmaceutical sector experts to explain the regulatory framework for registering vaccines in South Africa, as well as the role of product liability in relation to COVID-19 vaccines. The series is rounded up with a discussion on COVID-19 vaccine injuries and how to claim compensation. And finally, we look into employer liability when an employee suffers a COVID-19 vaccine injury after complying with a mandatory workplace vaccination policy. Joining me today is Mr. Michael Yates, a director in the Employment Law Department at CDH, and with whom I work closely with. Welcome, Michael, and thank you for your time today to discuss how employers might deal with objections to mandatory workplace vaccinations in South Africa. While there is abundant information available on the Consolidated Direction on Occupational Health and Safety issued on the 11th of June 2021 by the Department of Employment and Labour, perhaps this is the natural starting point for our discussion today. Welcome, Michael.
Hi, thank you, Tatu. It's a pleasure to join you and welcome to everybody listening to the podcast. The Consolidated Directive definitely sent some shockwaves through the employment community, and it definitely laid the foundation for employers to implement mandatory vaccination policies, something that we haven't really seen with other communicable diseases such as tuberculosis and the like. CDH has published a variety of material on this topic, so I'm not going to go into the process of an employer's need to follow the implementation of a vaccination policy or anything of the sort. Instead, I'm just going to look at the emerging legal challenges that we have come across from our various clients that arise in the workplace where mandatory vaccination policies are already in place or are being implemented. In doing so, we can focus on how to grapple with these objections that employees may raise from time to time and who are being opposed to being vaccinated and where an employer stands in relation to the directive and its legal rights, which is a fine balancing act between its obligations under the Occupational Health and Safety Act to ensure a safe workplace and an employee's rights to bodily integrity and their right to object.
Thank you very much for that, Michael. So I think the starting point would be, how does the Consolidated Directive assist employers deal with objections to the mandatory vaccination policies? Is there something in the Consolidated Directives that makes provision for employees to object to being vaccinated?
Yes, obviously. So the starting point is to get a copy of the Consolidated Directive. And if you haven't got one, please feel free to reach out to any one of our attorneys who will gladly provide you with the copy of the Consolidated Directive. But in short, this directive provides employers with the essential building blocks to introduce mandatory vaccination policy. And in that vein, it also sets out the importance of an employee's right to object to being vaccinated on certain limited or recognized grounds. And it guides employers more or less on how to deal with these objections. So first and foremost, importantly, the Consolidated Directive speaks of a spirit of mutual respect. And this is the fundamental point of departure that this policy ought to be implemented and be dealt with, that we must all respect each other's rights and beliefs. The directive also assists in providing employees with guidelines in terms of what their constitutional rights are and how this can be incorporated in their objections. It also makes provisions for employees to object on medical grounds, and there is a slightly different process on how to deal with those objections as opposed to the constitutional ground objectives. Where an employer has a mandatory vaccination policy, there must be an exemption procedure included in that policy.
Thank you very much for that, Michael. So with several companies already instituting mandatory workplace vaccination policies, from your experience, what are some of the common grounds of objection that have arisen?
We're fortunate in that we've seen two recent arbitration awards coming out of the CCMA, which deal with mandatory vaccination policies. And for those listening to the podcast, we're sitting at the beginning of February 2022, and we anticipate that there will be a myriad of these cases coming out thick and fast from this time going forwards. But just in a general discussion in relation to these two cases that have come out, the first is one involving the Gold Rush Group, where the employee relied on her constitutional rights to bodily integrity, which is encapsulated in Section 12, Sub 2 of the Constitution, And secondly, the employee submitted that she felt extreme social pressure and was subjected to in deciding whether she should take the vaccination or decide between her livelihood. The employee also submitted that she believed that the COVID-19 vaccines were, in her words, only good for the individuals themselves who have COVID-19. Ultimately, the CCMA commissioner dismissed her contentions and found that her dismissal, which was based on incapacity, was substantively fair. And the employee did not challenge the procedural fairness of her dismissal. So we see that there is definitely some support coming through the CCMA at this stage that a dismissal on a refusal to be vaccinated is supported by the CCMA. The second case involving a Mr. Gideon Kok and Dhaka Security Services did not deal with a dismissal, but actually it was a claim for an unfair labor practice dealing with suspension. In short, this employee was refused access to the workplace and he alleged that this amounted to a suspension. To cut a long story short on the suspension issue, the commissioner held that an overly technical definition of suspension should not get in the way of the matter, and he held that where an employee is perhaps denied access to a workplace because of a vaccination issue, that may amount to suspension. But that aside, the employee in this case, Mr. Cox, admitted that he believed the employer's decision to compel its employees to be vaccinated would be contrary to the Constitution, and he also cited the National Health Act and the consolidated directive issued by the Minister of Employment and Labour. The employee, as with the Goldrush Group, also relied on Section 12 of the Constitution and further submitted that he was a devout Christian who had already recovered from COVID-19, and as a result of his body's natural immunity and his faith, he recovered from this and was naturally immune against COVID-19. The commissioner dismissed the employee's arguments and found that the employee's suspension on the basis of his refusal to be vaccinated did not amount to an unfair labor practice for the purposes of Section 86(2) sub b. Interestingly, the commissioner in this case found that even though the employee, Mr. Kok, was entitled to object based on his religion, he found that Mr. Kok did not produce any substantiating or supporting documentation, either in theology or scientifically, that would support the contention that the Christian faith was vehemently opposed to vaccinations. So on this trend, it seems like the commissioner was or would have been prepared to accept any supporting documentation, perhaps, that may substantiate the claim, and that the bar was perhaps set relatively low in terms of the burden of proof on an employee in order to substantiate their objection. But because Mr. Kok was unable to produce any documentation to support the notion that the Christian faith was against vaccination, or at least the COVID-19 vaccination, he dismissed the objection on that basis.
Thank you very much for that, Michael. That certainly is interesting. And in addition to the two CCMA arbitration awards that you just mentioned now, I've also had sight of a recent Labour Court judgment that was handed down yesterday, the 2nd of February 2022, in the Solidarity on Behalf of Members matter against CISA, P2I LTD, case number J37 of 22, where the Labour Court dismissed an urgent application brought by Solidarity to declare an employer's mandatory workplace vaccination unlawful. The court found that the case did not meet the requirements for urgency, but interesting enough, the Labour Court did not attempt to address the merits of the urgent application. And now, in turning to the objections raised by employees, a lot of objections seem to be on constitutional grounds instead of medical grounds. Why do you think that is, Michael?
Well, in the two CCMA awards discussed earlier, both employees relied on Section 12 of the Constitution, which of course contains the right to bodily and psychological integrity. However, employers are not necessarily the more appropriate stakeholders or parties to make any informed decisions on how to balance constitutional rights. To a large degree, the court, and particularly the constitutional court as the apex court in South Africa, is perhaps best placed to determine these questions.
Okay, thank you for that. And I 100% agree with you that in the end, the constitutional court will have to make a ruling on this issue. In turning to objections on constitutional grounds, what do you think are some of the considerations that employers should look when they consider an employee's objection based on constitutional grounds?
Employees who object on the basis of their constitutional rights should state which constitutional rights they are actually relying on and substantiate how the workplace vaccine policy unfairly infringes on that right. It's not good enough for an employee just to say that I rely on my constitutional rights. It's a type of an unarticulated defense. You've got to be specific and pin your colors to the mast and provide some documentation or some support for whatever those grounds are that you are relying on. The courts have not yet grappled with the balance of the constitutional rights at play, which we are eagerly awaiting, but we can at least draw on the two recent arbitration awards from the CCMA. And as I've mentioned earlier, I think we'll be seeing a lot more jurisprudence on this topic coming out of the Labour Court and perhaps the High Court very soon.
With reference to the two CCMA awards that you just mentioned, I find the Gold Rush case particularly interesting. As you've stated earlier, the courts, and in particular the Constitutional Court, is best placed to weigh the contrasting constitutional rights at play. One must, of course, consider Section 8 of the Occupational Health and Safety Act, which states that employers must, as far as it is reasonably practical, provide its employees with a safe working environment that is without risk to the health of its employees. We wait to see if the Commissioner's assessment in this regard will be tested on review in the Labour Court. And Michael, with regard to adjudications at the CCMA, do you have any thoughts on that?
I think that we're going to see a lot of development in this area. These two cases at least give us some indication around the training that the CCMA commissioners have received and how we think that they are going to approach matters of this nature. But of course, the CCMA is subservient to the decisions of the Labour Court and higher courts. CCMA arbitration awards in themselves have no binding effect on the Labour Court or anything of the sort. So I think we will see a lot of development coming through.
Let us now turn to objections based on medical grounds. What do you think that employees consider in these circumstances?
Employees who object on mandatory vaccinations based on medical reasons should furnish some medical evidence that the vaccine will potentially endanger their lives or that they have some medical precondition or something that may have an adverse effect. Employees can do this by furnishing either a letter from their medical practitioner, which outlines the medical condition and that medical doctor's medical reasons or belief why the vaccine will be potentially life-threatening to the employee. An employer who is faced with such a medical certificate should offer to the employee that he or she may submit themselves for further medical evaluation by a different doctor, perhaps at the employer's own cost. But if the employee either rejects that offer or the medical evaluation comes back and it says, yes, there is some truth to this, we also agree that the employee ought not to be vaccinated, then that exemption or objection should be accepted and registered, and then the employer would need to move on to the next step.
Would you mind just explaining what objections to vaccinations would look like practically?
So the objections would practically look like whatever is prescribed in the company's policy and procedure. So whether it's email-based or verbal, the objection will be made, ought to stipulate exactly what the objection is, whether it's on a constitutional ground and what constitutional ground they are relying on, and then have some kind of supporting documentation underpinning that objection. Then it is up to the employer to decide whether it accepts or rejects the objection. If the employer rejects the objection, it ought to communicate that with the employee, explain to the employee why it has been rejected. And I would say, just to err on the side of caution, give the employee an opportunity to deal with the employer's reason for rejection. If the employer, however, accepts the reason or the objection and the employee is effectively exempt, then the employer should embark on a process to assess whether this employee can continue in their role, whether there are less severe measures or reasonably practicable measures to reasonably accommodate that employee in the workplace, which may mean moving the employee or letting them fulfill a different role, or even the use of PPE such as masks and social distancing. If that will satisfy the employer's overall obligation to ensure a safe work environment, that ought to be done. A dismissal must always be left as the absolute last resort. If this employee cannot be accommodated elsewhere in the organization, or if there is no other reasonable alternative or reasonable accommodation that be made for this employee, only then should the employer consider moving over into some incapacity process or retrenchment process, as the case may be.
Thank you very much for that, Michael. So what I'm picking up from your thoughts is that compliance with the LRA is imperative. And I'd also just like to add on to this and say that compliance with the directive is also imperative, in that employers should also follow the steps listed in the June 11 directive issued by the Department of Employment and Labor, because a failure to comply with that directive might actually have disastrous consequences for employers. And the case in point now is the case of Solidarity, which has launched proceedings in the High Court in Bloemfontein against the University of the Free State. And in this case, Solidarity is challenging UFS on the point that UFS did not comply with the provisions of the Consolidated Directive, and that it is alleged that this failure by UFS amounts to a fatal flaw in their mandatory vaccination policy. So I agree with you in that employers must first exhaust all options in terms of existing legal framework, and then only can they maybe start think of ways such as termination. In closing, Michael, I think as more and more mandatory vaccination policies have been implemented, we expect to see more and more varied judgments arise from the CCMA, which will then, in most likelihood, be reviewed in the labor court. While we wait for judicial guidance, I think Michael's remarks about ensuring that the outcomes of employers' risk assessments are actually linked to the workplace and that the needs of the business is a greatest source to follow. As a disclaimer, the courts are yet to take a definitive stance on mandatory workplace vaccinations at the time that this podcast was recorded. The only authority on record is the CCMA arbitration awards and the Endarco security case, as well as the Gold Rush case discussed earlier. These awards may in time be overruled by higher courts. That then concludes this podcast. Thank you all for joining us. In our next episode, we will consider the pharmaceutical sector, and our experts in that field will explain the regulatory framework for registering vaccines in South Africa. Michael, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Tato.